Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that we can, even as it's raining outside and we've just even last night, Lord, we thank you that your rain, you send your rain on the just and the unjust, Lord. Your glorious grace, Lord, is sufficient for every one of us, Lord. And even this morning as we come into your presence, God, we thank you that we come with a boldness into your presence, God, that we come with an expectation, Lord, to meet with you this morning, Father. And Lord, we come with expectation to be transformed, Lord, to be shaped and to be transformed and molded into your image, God. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning and we thank you for your presence and we thank you for your power at work in and through our lives to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. I wanted to bring some along, but we're in a specific stage of our lives and our family. We're getting lots of little invitations, and these invitations are very cool. They are for children's parties, and a lot of them are for the first birthday party. And Abigail's is coming up as well. And it's amazing to see the it's a big thing, okay? I know it's a big thing. I understand why it's a big thing. And for me also, it's my own little daughter, it's important. It's a big thing. But if you think about it, I don't remember a thing about my first birthday. To be completely honest, even if I look at the photos, I'm like, okay, that looks a bit dodgy. You know, what did they do there? Why does it have that cake type of thing? And my mom convinced me, no, that's the one you wanted to have and everything. So it is a big thing. But we have these cool invitations that come, and there's a lot of work that goes into them, and it's quite a big thing. And but invitations are cool like that. You know, They come in all shapes and forms, and I mean I've had interesting ones. You know how they go these days. You get them in the mail, or talking about the mail. The Royal Mail, isn't that an amazing thing? But in any case, the other day I got something. This is a first for me. I got a tart. How do you say that? A cake. In the mail. Well, it was a first for me. It wasn't from next door. It was from overseas. I kid you not. I see people not believing me. I kid you not. From Switzerland. We got a parcel, and we had to go and collect it at the parcel collection place, whatever you call that. And then I saw it was from Switzerland. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting anything. And then it was this thing. Okay, it's one of those that can last a long time. Okay, but quite delicious. It's like a nut thingy filling and in the post. Amazing, you know, to get these days. So you get these invitations. You get them by mail or you get them email these days. You get these e-card thingies that there's a little thing that dances and sings to you, and then you get invited to something cool. I remember, this wasn't an invitation, but around the festive season, we got this card, e-card, which had our faces in it on these little dancing animated figures. It was very funny. But they get invitations by text these days. Just a quick, text message or BBM or whatever. You get it on Facebook these days. You get invited to an event on Facebook. You get formal ones. You get informal ones. You get personalized one. You get ones you can see. Oh, this is just one of those spam. Hopefully somebody pitches. You know, I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Type of emails. You know, and it's. And then you get those that are very personalized, you know, your name, and you've got like a lot of detail, and you got them nice envelope. And then you get the really cool ones. I got one once. It was a little box. And then it was wrapped, and then there's this little box, and then you open the box, and then there was sand in it, and shells, and beautiful things from the sea. Really? And then it was really beautiful. And then it was like a little card thing in it as well, very beautifully done. And it was a wedding invitation. and the wedding was on the beach, but I couldn't go. So you get these amazing ones, and you know, I got one recently, which is really kind of takes the cake, if you want to say it like that. You know, beautifully personalized. I didn't bring the actual thing with me. I got the wording, but beautiful. It's one of those. It's in a package, and then there's a inside the beautiful wrapping. There's another envelope, and then on that envelope there's a beautiful embossed my name on it. It's one of those where you get it, you think maybe this isn't for me. You know, this looks too fancy. Maybe there was a mistake. Although the Royal Mail might, do they make mistakes? I don't know. You know, so beautifully. You know, it looks almost like stately, you know, and then you open it, and then, and it was, again, when you're wondering, maybe on the inside there'll be a different name, and they'll realize, okay, it was a mistake, but then, yes, it's still me on the inside, and beautifully decorated, embossed, like, you can think, oh, this thing, even this invitation cost quite a bit of money, you know, it's kind of, it looks really fancy, and you know what? You guys are going to be very jealous. But you know how we always joke about being invited to have tea with the Queen? Yes. You joke about that. You know, people joke about that. Yeah, no, when you go around there and the flag is up, you know, just pop in and say hi. But this is even much better than that. This one. And I don't know if you... Some people always say they want to meet Nelson Mandela, or they want to meet the President of the United States, or somebody like that. But this invitation that I received was way beyond having tea with the Queen, or meeting Nelson Mandela, or what would be the coolest invitation you can think of? It's cooler than that. And it girls don't believe me. In any case, it's even more amazing than receiving a cake in the mail. And do you want to know?
Yes,
you want to know about that? Yeah, I'm a little bit worried to share because people will get upset because they didn't get one, or you know, it's one of those sensitive things. Will you be upset with me if I don't share? Okay, I'm going to read it, but please don't be mad. Please don't be upset if you... Oh, no, it's just one of those things, eh? Okay, I've got the wording here. Dear Yaku. See? I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dine with you and you with me. Okay, you didn't expect that one. But that's my invitation that I got. And it is the most incredible invitation that I've ever received. And not only because of what it says, but this morning specifically because of who it comes from. And I know some of you are upset because I built it up like that, and now it's like, wow, you know, it's just... But I want to look at this a little bit this morning, because this, if you look at it in detail, it's really quite incredible to look at the invitation that goes out. It's almost a universal one, so nobody's excluded this morning. But to really understand... You know, what it's about, and to really understand the amazing heart of God behind it, and how, and what, where it comes from, and how it is extended to us and to the people it was originally intended to. I'm going to just read a little bit further. I'm going to expound a little bit, but let's look at the context of this specific invitation. Now, this is out of a different translation. And Revelation chapter 3, from verse 14. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, not anyone, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. Okay, so that we see this is of the letters written to the churches. This is kind of the not so cool church. Okay. Okay, let's just see what he says there. He says, first he says, you know, this in the middle thing isn't so. I don't like it. I prefer if you kind of completely turn against me, guys, or if you kind of completely, you know, I don't like this in between. Okay, I wish that you would one or the other, but since you are lukewarm, like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn away from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. And if we look at this, this is really quite amazing. Some of you will remember the story I was told of a lady called Nompaliso a while ago, who was on outreach with us. And I'm going to tell it again just to refresh those that didn't hear it. We went on an outreach around the borders of South Africa for 6 weeks. It's on one of those that I got to know Erna a bit better. So that was very blessed. But Nompaliso was part of our team. She was in her 40s already at that stage. But nobody, we only got that about halfway through the tour because you wouldn't say. You know, it's really amazing. She already had children. Anyways, long story. But she is from a Xhosa background, and whenever we were in the Xhosa-speaking areas, and there was a crowd that was primarily Xhosa-speaking, she would preach the word. And boy, did she preach. I tell you, I just got excited listening to her. I didn't have a clue what she was saying. I was just hoping, you know, although I don't know if I led that year, but I was just hoping she was preaching the gospel. But, you know, at the end, people responded, and it was amazing to see just the passion with which she preached the word of God, and incredible response, really anointed. And there was one specific part of her message. I suppose she had like a standard, roughly standard salvation message. But there was always one bit that she was talking, getting very excited and very passionate, and then she would say 50-50 in English. Okay, but the rest we didn't understand. But that obviously those words we understood, and I was so curious. But I found, you know, after a few of these outreach, I realized there's always a bit that the 50-50 bit comes in, and getting very excited, and then I can see she's I don't know if she's upset with the people, and you know, she looked a bit, you know, serious about what she was saying, but she got very passionate, and she went 50-50. And then at one stage, I can't remember where it was or whether it was on the bus or somewhere. But then I said, listen, tell me about the 50-50 bit. What is it there? Well, tell me what you tell the people. And then she said what these guys need to hear, what God is saying to these guys. She said, you cannot stand with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot go 50% follow the world and 50% follow God. You cannot follow both. And, you know, she would make that point so strongly because of, you know, the cultural background. Also, the people want some of the cultures in that area would, you know, in those areas would follow a lot of tradition and ancestral worship, but also want to serve Jesus as well. And you know, and she was saying, you can't do that and God. You can't do the world and God. You cannot. You cannot go in two directions at once. You cannot serve two masters. And that's exactly where these guys were at. Basically, what God is saying, you need to make a decision. You need to decide, are you going to follow me 100% or are you going to run with the world? This in-between thing doesn't do it for anybody. You know, it's not going to be blessed for anybody. And then, so this is where they're at. And amazing, there's a very famous painting about this scripture. I don't remember who painted it. It's very famous. The guy, Nicky Gumbel, mentions it in the Alpha book. And it's this painting of the door and Jesus at the door knocking. And then the very cool thing about, there's a lot of symbolism about the things on the door and what the door looks like. But then the key thing about the door is it doesn't have a handle on the outside. There's no way Jesus can open the door. Do you get it? Okay. The handle is on the inside. And basically, he's saying, yeah, I'm standing at the door. I'm here. I'm calling out. But you need to let me in. You need to open the door. And the amazing thing is, when you read the preceding, obviously this is very well-known scripture. I'd love to quote this verse 20. But if you read the preceding one, this is quite serious. You know, this is one of those harsh, almost harsh words that we read in the Bible. It's like, listen, I'm going to vomit some of the scripture, some of the translation, say, vomit you out of my mouth. And like, you know, and it's like, but we feel like we see really kind of experience the heart of God almost repulsed by this in-between thing. This 50-50. And they said, well, you know, I'd rather prefer you cold. You know, obviously hot, but not in the middle. Not lukewarm, not trying to do the 50-50 thing. And then he also, obviously, he mentions some specific things. How the guys are missing the point and are resting in the earthly riches and things, but they're missing eternal riches. Talking about, you know, getting the real eternal riches from the Lord and clothed in righteousness and, you know, covering the shame. We're not going to go into all those today. But then you see the heart of the Father coming through and he says, I correct the ones I love. So he says to them, listen, I love you. I'm disciplined, everybody I love. I correct those. I'm here. I'm writing you this letter because I want you to get onto the right track. And so this is the context. We see that actually the guys, you know, he's knocking on the door, which is already, you know, writing to a church, Jesus outside, knocking on the door. Something wrong with that picture. Jesus should be inside, okay? But now, but the amazing picture there is he's there at the door. He's not saying, listen, I've had enough of you guys. Do your own thing. I'm going on. No, Jesus is at the door. He's knocking. He's saying, I want to come in. So there's this incredible invitation that I want to come in. And we see the heart of the Father. We see the heart of the Father. He says, I discipline those who I love. I'm wanting you to turn. I'm wanting to have this. I'm wanting to be restored in relationship with you. So this is written to a church. This is written to Christians. But this is almost, you can say, it's a universal invitation to whosoever wants to hear. I want to look at a few points of what it is he is inviting us into. Now, the first thing I want to say that it's what it's not. Okay, Anna and I have this thing. It's one of the things that we sometimes have a discussion around. You know, married folk have discussions about things, and one of these things that we discuss from time to time is I suppose, praise God, it's the whole thing about, you know, God puts us together, we complement each other. I have a weakness in some areas. It's difficult to believe, I know, but one of them is. It's funny, I'm really particular with certain things, but other things, I'm not so neat, you know. Anna gets really upset when she gets to my office sometimes. She wants to help me. Praise the Lord. And she does. And then, but say when people come to visit, I don't mind if it looks like people live in the house. because people do live in the house, you know. But Erna is a more of a host type of person, so she wants the place to be spotless and neat and everything. And guys, don't get me wrong, I really appreciate that, but I'm not like that. And so we have a discussion around this from time to time. And maybe it's because it reminds me, no, it doesn't really, but maybe it's, you know, sometimes, for some people, when somebody comes to visit, it's like the way we felt before inspection when I was doing my basic training in the military. And especially at the beginning of the basic training, you know, I tell you what, you work through the whole night. I'm not exaggerating. You work through the whole night, especially if it's officers or officers inspection, and you stand there, and you stand at attention at your bed, you know, they will find something. You have worked everything, you've done everything in your power, but you know that they will find something wrong. And so maybe it's for some, it feels like that. When somebody comes to visit, they have this kind of, oh my goodness, everything has to be perfect. And not out of wanting to bless them, but out of kind of a fear, out of a fear of failure maybe. But it was like that. I mean, those guys used to come there. We did everything. We polished everything. We cleaned everything twice. The one time before the officer's inspection, I was busy with everything. It was already late at night, so I wasn't so focused as I should have been. You know Brasso? So we used to polish our buttons with. Yeah, polish buttons. We did that. And I was busy with the shoes. The shoes were already done. Mirrors, I tell you. You could see your face in them, beautiful. A lot of effort goes into that. And then I was busy with the buttons, but then I got distracted and I did something else, and I got back to the buttons. And the brasser, yeah, it has to be, it's separate. You have to shake it. And I forgot that I'd already taken off the cap. So I went. So I got brasser all over here. Luckily not over my neighbor, because we were very close together. I had my 1.5 meters. I managed to get the brasser within my 1.5 meters. And then, but the brasser got on the shoes. That was bad, because then obviously it kind of, yeah, it's not good. So I didn't sleep at all. But you stand there in the morning, and you know as you're standing there, whether he puts on his white glove or not, you know the white glove they put on, and then they put their finger there under the bed somewhere where the sun never shines, and they find some dust. And in any case, for some people, I feel it's like that. It feels, you know, when you say God wants to come into your life, people feel like that. Oh my goodness, this place is a mess. Even if I do my best, he's going to find something wrong. And people think God comes into our lives with a critical, wanting to find whatever is wrong, wanting to put his finger on, put his white glove on, say, hey, but look at that thing that you did when you were in grade 4, you know, or in year 3. And I want to say it's not like that. When Jesus knocks at the door, in fact, he says, listen, don't even try to clean up the mess. I want to come in just the way it is. I don't want you to stress about your life. I don't want you to try and fix anything. And in fact, when I come for dinner, I bring in a team with me, and we do all that stuff. That's part of the package. We clean your house. We sort all we sort the mess out. It's part of the deal. So the first thing he says, it's not critical. It's not a coming to find fault. It's not an exercise. It's not an inspection. Are you with me this morning? It's not that. In fact, I'm just going to quickly read from Hebrews 4 in terms of what we can expect when he comes from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we find. Whether we are approaching the throne of grace, whether we are inviting Jesus in, whether we are responding to His knocking, His unction, His call, we can do that boldly because there's a place that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we find. When Jesus comes in, when we approach the cross, we find grace and we find mercy. Isn't that a comforting thought? There's no inspection. There's no guy's going to scream at you. There's no person that's going to knock you over the head or throw a lightning bolt at you. You know, if we approach the throne of grace, we find grace and we find mercy. The English language is amazing. In Afrikaans, it's more difficult. But grace and mercy, do you know the difference between them? It's quite cool, actually. Let me get this right. Mercy is the fact that we don't get what we deserve, right? Okay. Mercy means we don't get what we deserve. Grace means we get what we don't deserve. So the mercy of God is withholding. Actually, not in this case, not withholding, putting His wrath and His judgment upon Jesus instead of on us. In other words, the wrath and judgment that we deserve, Jesus has taken. So that's mercy. We don't get that, what we deserve. Jesus took it upon Himself. Okay, grace is, yes, cool, now we're in a relationship, but now it doesn't stay there. That stuff that we cannot earn, that we cannot do anything for, that we cannot ever accumulate brownie points for anything, eternal life, relationship with God, we get that, we receive that from Him, even though we don't deserve it. Amazing. So that is what we get when God comes in. There's grace, there's mercy. When Jesus comes in, He says to us, leave it like that. I wanna sit down with you. I want us to connect first. Don't try and fix it. Don't try and clean it up. So that's the second bit. He says we are invited to a meal. Now, in the cultural context, as Liver would agree with, right there, is that a meal at that stage wouldn't happen between just random strangers. Okay, a meal, it's not like you. I don't think there were blind dates, okay, in those times. I doubt it sincerely. But in those days, if you were to invite somebody for a meal, it was quite serious. You would be saying quite something about that person in terms of you wanting to connect with them. It was an intimate thing. It was a close friendship thing. It wasn't a random acquaintances type of thing. It was quite intimate. So we are invited to an intimate meal, a close relationship. Where the Queen, for instance, again, let's say the Queen. Since it's the Jubilee this year, I've learned a lot about the Queen, I must say. I've watched some documentaries and I've read a bit. Very interesting. I know quite a lot about the Queen now. Please don't quiz me on the dates because I get confused. But although I've now acquired all this information, I haven't met the Queen. So now I know the stuff about the Queen. I know of the Queen and I can tell you a lot of things about her life, but I don't know the Queen. And in the same way that God invites us to that point of relationship, a lot of us come from a background where we know of God, we've heard a lot of things, we have a lot of information, we grew up with this basic understanding, yes, of who He is and how He operates. But then we come to a point where we get this invitation and we respond to the invitation to step from knowing about, having information of, to a place of knowing the person and relating to the person on a personal level. So this is what the invitation is about. to come from a place of, yes, you might have heard, you might have known, you might have had an idea, but now I want to invite you into the inner room, into the intimacy of a meal together where we sit across the table from each other and we enjoy each other's company in an intimate way. And then he takes it one step further, and this is interesting. I'm going to read the scripture on the first slide again, young Louis. In that translation, I think this is the New King James one, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, and in the congregational context there, he says, if anyone, church, kind of gets the message, just, you know, that's fine. It doesn't have to be everybody. Quite cool, actually. But in terms of person, he says, I will come in to him and dine with him. And it would have been cool if you stopped there, right? We would have got the message. But then he adds, and he with me. So this is not a one-sided affair. Okay, this is not a one-sided friendship. This is not a, you know, this friendship where you, after a few years of phoning and making lots of effort, and you just realize, you look on your call log, there's only outgoing, it's only outgoing correspondence. And you kind of realize, okay, this is not what I thought it was. This is not like that. Okay, this is, in fact, this one only operates, this one only works when it comes from both ways. And he says, I will eat with you and you with me. In other words, there's a reciprocation that happens here. There's a two-way street. There's a two-way communication. And the intimacy around that, what we are invited to. We are invited beyond our understanding. We are invited beyond the facts, like I said, that we know, or the historical background. We are invited to a place of a personal voyage of discovery about this person that you're getting into and that you're getting into a relationship with. And in marriage, it's like that. It's an amazing thing. You know, it's a voyage of discovery that continues until the day you die. And I remember doing marriage prep, and the pastor talking about this, and I'm thinking, you know, and I don't know if I didn't believe him, but you kind of think, no, we know each other quite well. You know, we've known each other for a couple of years and good friends. But then he did mention that in different stages in life, we change. And then the men are a little bit boring and we don't change as much, apparently. But I've heard it said that when you marry a lady, that there's actually quite a few different ladies that you get married to. The one that you are engaged to is a little bit different from the one that after the marriage ceremony. And it's the truth. And it's really amazing because God has designed it like that. No, really. And then when that same lady becomes pregnant, suddenly you wake up in the morning and there's somebody else next to you. I had a chuckle of a friend of mine. They had a honeymoon baby. So it was quite tough. You know, the hormones and things. Listen, I completely understand how this works, and it's not weird. But sometimes things happen that it's even beyond the control of the lady herself. Seriously, I'm not joking. But he had a rough time because he was still kind of getting to grips with this whole being married thing. And then he says he comes home and he doesn't know who this lady is, but it's not the woman he married. So, I mean, at that stage they were joking about it, but I could see that it was quite hectic at one stage. But the same with our relationship with God. There's an incredible voyage of discovery that we go on in terms of discovering who God is, beyond the stuff that we think we know, beyond the stuff that we think and we understand about Him. And I feel this isn't in my notes, but I really feel this for somebody here this morning, that you are discouraged where you are at in your relationship with God. I just feel God saying, you have seen the tip of the iceberg. You have tasted a crumb out of the meal, and He's inviting you to come deeper into this voyage of discovery. And I just, I don't know who that's for, but it is up to you. The handle is on the inside. And you and I are exactly where we choose to be in our relationship with God. Amen. There's nothing that can keep us from going, knowing Him more. There's nothing that can prevent us from seeking Him more and understanding Him more. Nothing but our own will and our own decision not to. And then I'm going to skip Matthew and Louis. I want to just quickly end off again with that last bit of the verse 20 and 21. Read that again. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, you hear His voice, and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. And then He goes into, and this is encouraging because now he's kind of, guys, where you're at is not good, okay? Hot, cold, yes, but this medium, this in-between, lukewarm, it's revolting. Then He goes on, He says, the riches and stuff you're pursuing is not good, okay? It's not eternal. The stuff I've got for you is way better than that stuff. And then he encourages them. He says, I rebuke and I correct those who love. Excuse me. And then He says, listen, guys, I want you to hang in there. He says, those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on His throne. Another translation, for him who overcomes, I will grant that he will sit with me on the throne. Have you read this before? Do you see what he says there? This is not the Queen of England, bless her. I mean, this is amazing that nobody else will sit on the throne, I'm sure. But this is the King of the universe here. He's saying, guys, for those that overcome, I will grant that you will reign with me. You will sit with me on the throne. In other words, he's saying, yes, I understand this stuff that you're going through, but I've got grace and I've got mercy for you. Overcome. For those that are victorious, for those that endure, for those that overcome, you will sit with me on the throne. This is mind-blowing. This is, you can preach 2-3 days on this alone. It's the fact that the King of the universe says, He invites us to that, to sit with Him on the throne. And not only does He encourage us to be victorious and encourage us to overcome, He gives us the tools that we need for it. He invites us into this voyage of discovery, into this life of victory and this life of overcoming. And He says, and I will, for those that overcome, you will sit with me on the throne. And then, as we know, most invitations have this thing at the bottom, this RSVP thing, okay? There's a response required. What does the French say? Responde, s'il vous plaît, is that right? Where are the French people? Okay, in other words, please respond. And then it tells you how you must respond. Is that right? Some say how you must dress, some say how you mustn't dress, black tie. Have you noticed they say black tie and everybody wears bow ties? And then you're the only one with a... Okay. You only make that mistake once. In any case. So, tails and hats and everything. People, formal, smart, casual, it's just a term that changes every year. It means something different. Fancy dress. I was once invited to a birthday party with a theme. And the theme was to... dress like somebody that inspires you. So my friend Rick, who's now the pastor in the battle, we were a platinate at the time. So we decided we're gonna go all out. We're gonna go all the way. I don't know even where he got half the stuff, but he got wigs. We dressed up as Braveheart, William Wallace. So, I think it got to do something to do with the stuff that was available. You understand? So, we had to kind of marry roughly in some roughly inspirational figure with the stuff that we had to our disposal. Okay, so we out came Braveheart. So we dressed, we went all out. We had like the, it wasn't the proper kilt, but it was like a tartan thing, you know, and we had paint and blue and paint and white, and we had swords and really quite scary, actually. I think there's a photo on the website. No, everybody's going to go on the website. There's a photo of that on the website. And there's a leader, meet the leadership on the church website. In any case. So the day before the party, we get a message. Sorry, guys. Theme's off. Cancel the theme. Abort the mission. They're just normal. Just come as you bring a drink or whatever, you know. It was, and we were so disappointed. So we decided we're going to pretend we didn't get the message. So we go all out, and I remember driving there because we couldn't get dressed there, so we had to, it was quite far. Driving there through like a built-up area. At every traffic light, people are looking, you know, like getting a bit scared and stuff because of the hair and the paint. And in any case, the look on the guy's face when he opened the door, priceless. He's such a conscientious guy, so always so careful in his communication, you know, making sure everybody got the message. But when he saw us, he felt very bad because he thought we didn't get it. Anyways, so there's a dress code in there. Some of them have a protocol, you know, you must do this, you must wear a hat, you must wear something that starts with P, or, you know, I've had weird ones. And then it's like when you go to the Queen, apparently I'm told that if you go visit her, I know some of you go often, you will be able to tell us that somebody tells you what you must do now. There's somebody that briefs you before, coaches you, this is how you greet the Queen, this is what you must not do, this is what you must do, this is how you bow, the ladies have to do this thing, this is a very dangerous maneuver, you can easily fall over. I think it's a trick they got from the old days when they were aware of assassins and things. You know, all these moves that you have to make. It is, in any case, there's a whole protocol. And you know what? It's the same with God. And it's interesting that people don't mind going through protocol with the Queen. They think that's fine. But when it comes to God, we have this funny thing that the King of the universe, the creator of everything, we say, no, I want to come to God in a way that's comfortable for me. Have you thought about that? I want to approach God in the way I decide. But when we go to the Queen, we will do everything. We will bow and do the stuff that is necessary. But when we come to the King of Kings, we throw all that stuff out the window and say, no, I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to hope for the best and hope I don't get struck by lightning. Just kidding. But what I'm saying is when we come to God, Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so that's the first tip. You cannot come to God except through Christ. You cannot approach God, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, doesn't matter what you've achieved in life. We only come through Him, through Christ, okay? And the second one, and I want to just throw that out there, I don't have time to go into it, I have to close, but even when we worship God, even when we, I know people don't like it when I say this, when we worship, when we pray, when we, there's a few things that God leaves up to us, amen, okay? And obviously, He created us with different personalities, and it's amazing when we worship God. And different cultures worship God together in Africa or in India. Been privileged to see different cultures worship God, and it's absolutely amazing. But there are a few things that God shows us in Scripture. And I just want to throw that out there, that is, there is a place where we need to come with holy fear before God and say, Lord, I come to You only in the name of Jesus. And I come to You in the way that You require me to come. And when it comes to our relationship with Him, when it comes to coming from a place of not being in a relationship and then being in a relationship, maybe you know somebody like, maybe you're walking a road with somebody like that. We need to help people to see that although God takes us just the way we are, He said, don't clean up the mess, don't leave the house just like that. I want to come in and I want to help you sort it out. I want to sort it out for you. Although all that is true, there's a specific door and there's a specific way that you need to walk with me. And there are reasons for that as well. But Jesus is the only way. There are no other paths. You can't come through the window. It's not going to work. Back door. No back door. Jesus is the door. He is the way. He is the way that we approach the Father. And sometimes even when we pray, even when we ask God about stuff, we come from a funny angle. We ask, I believe often I pray that somebody, I don't know, I got this revelation a few years ago. Somebody said something and I just realized I'm asking God the wrong questions. And I'm getting very frustrated. So maybe some of you, we need to ask God, Lord, help me to ask the right questions. Help me to approach you from a place where I'm not going to be frustrated because I'm not hearing anything. I'm not getting it. I don't feel like I'm getting a response. Amen. If you'll stand with me this morning. This invitation is not only for some that know about God but haven't met Him. This invitation is not only for the congregation that is in the lukewarm water. Yes, it is for that. This invitation is one that we receive, I believe, every day. Today, I want to meet with you. Today, I want to have a meal with you. Today, I want to have intimate relationship with you. Today, I want to sit down across the table. I want to look you in the eye. I want to hear what's on your heart. And I want to tell you what's on my heart. There's a two-way street. Every day. Today, the King of Kings wants to encourage you and say, for those who endure, for those who overcome. I want to sit with you across the table. I want to say, keep on, hang in there, stick it out. I've got eternal riches for you. I've made provision for you. And, you know, and there's an amazing prize. There's an amazing invitation at the end. For him who overcomes, I will grant that he will sit with me on the throne. And this morning, as we come before God, we're in different places and in different places in our relationship with God. Let's take the heart of the Father saying, the in-between thing is not blessed. It's not going to work for me. The in-between thing is not going to be good for you or anybody else. But there's grace at the throne. We can approach the throne of grace with a boldness to obtain, to find that grace, to obtain mercy and help in time of need. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come this morning in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, you know each of us. You know where we're at. You know where we find ourselves in relationship with you, Lord. You know where we find ourselves in terms of our hearts, God. And I thank you this morning, Lord, that no matter where we are, that you extend this invitation to us. An invitation to greater intimacy. An invitation to share in what is eternally of value, Lord. An invitation, Lord, to hear you and to have a conversation, to share the things that are on our hearts, but also, Lord, to hear what is on your heart, Father. An invitation not only to have intimate relationship, but to partake in your kingdom, in on the throne, Lord, sitting on your throne, ruling and reigning, Lord, seeing your kingdom established. Lord, there's a partnership there that we can almost not fathom, Lord, that you invite us to. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning that you press on each heart here, Lord. a hunger and a thirst to draw near to you, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we can rush. I pray right now, Lord, that if there's anybody that needs to open the door again, Lord, oh God, I pray for an urgency, God, to rush to the door. To leave the house, Lord, even if it's in a mess, God, to just run and to invite you in again, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you for soft hearts this morning, Lord. Thank you for that your promise that you remove the heart of flesh, God, and you remove the heart of stone, Lord. You give us a heart of flesh again, God, in the name of Jesus. I just sense there's some here that have hardened hearts, God. I thank you, Lord, for your grace to soften our hearts, God. Even the consciences that have been seared, Lord, I thank you that you restore and you invite us back to a place of intimacy, Father, to a place of where we hear your voice, even when you whisper, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the voyage of discovery, Father, the voyage of victory, Lord, when we taste what it means to overcome, when we taste what it means to be victorious, Lord. But it's all in the context of knowing you more and hearing your voice and understanding and just reveling in who you are, Father, and enjoying the journey with you, Father. Oh, God, I thank you for hearts here to be expectant, Lord, of every new day, Father, to step into that place, to step into the place that you have prepared for us. And I thank you, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus, that you will give us a heart for those that know of you, Father, that have heard some things, that don't know, that haven't met you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the keys, Lord. You've given us the way. And that Christ, that you have died on the cross so that we can usher others into this place of intimacy, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. And I thank you even this week, Lord, I thank you for fruit, Lord, of your word. I thank you, Lord, for a boldness, Lord, to walk in the way that you've shown us, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.